The World Health Organization officially gave COVID-19 its name in February. But before anyone knew what to call it, some U.S. politicians and journalists dubbed it the Chinese virus or Wuhan coronavirus, referring to the city that saw the first cases. Those early labels fit into a long-ignored history of anti-Asian racism in the United States. That may be why Asian American business owners in Connecticut and New York reported drastic drops in revenue well before any local outbreaks. Now many Asian and Pacific Americans fear anyone who may look Chinese is a possible target of racism. WSHU's Cassandra Basler reports.
An Asian student got punched in the jaw in Midtown Manhattan in early March. She told a WABC reporter she wanted to remain anonymous as she recalled being attacked by a woman on the street.
I remember exactly what she said. She said, "Where is your mask, you coronavirus b-?" And right after that, she just punched my chin. So I was really shocked.
It's one of several incidents since the coronavirus that prompted investigations of bias attacks. The NYPD arrested two anti-Asian hate crime suspects that same month. One who police say shouted expletives and pushed a father. Another they say yelled anti-Asian comments and kicked a man. 2 days later, a reporter at a White House press briefing asked President Donald Trump,
"Why do you keep calling this the Chinese virus? There are reports of dozens of incidents of bias against Chinese Americans in this country. Your own aide, Secretary Azar, says he does not use this term. He says ethnicity does not cause the virus. Why do you keep using this?
A lot of people say
it's
China.
Racist.
It's not racist at all. No, not at all. It comes from China."
A leaked Republican communications strategy memo outlined talking points that directed blame for the coronavirus away from the president and towards China. The president was already backpedaling.
There was a tweet where he said, "Don't blame Asian Americans for this."
Rita Pin-Aarons is executive director of the OCA, Asian Pacific American Advocates, in Washington, D.C. That tweet she mentioned from the president drew strong criticism from prominent Asian American journalists. CBS White House correspondent Weijia Jiang tweeted with emphasis that Trump said Asian Americans need our protection. She noted Trump then tweeted, "They are helping us," as if Asian Americans are not also one of us. Or as Rita Pin-Aarons says,
"There's been a long-standing feeling that we have not been fully accepted as Americans, that we have been perpetually stigmatized as foreign and other."
And Pin-Aarons wants Trump to take action against anti-Asian bias.
"We need to have an executive order forming another task force that looks at this problem across the country."
But she isn't waiting around for that to happen. OCA created a website back in the 90s where people can report if they experience or observe anti-Asian hate incidents. They now work with several other nonprofits to compile this data nationwide.
There hadn't been too much activity in hate incidences before COVID-19. And so I think within the last few months, we've certainly seen a spike.
One of their partner groups is Stop Asian American and Pacific Islander Hate. The group tracked these incidents from March through June and counted more than 2,000 nationwide. They spiked when Trump started to call the pandemic the Chinese virus. Over 800 incidents were reported in California and nearly 300 in New York.
Everything from being taunted by strangers that we have coronavirus to spitting and physical assaults on our elders and our children.
The data even show who's been targeted. Pin-Aarons says that helps determine where to focus solutions, like bystander intervention training.
Women were 3 times more likely to have a hate incident than men were. Now, is this because API women are more likely to be out doing the grocery shopping or out in the community? Is it that people feel that, they're more vulnerable?
She hopes this data fills the gaps so harassment that falls short of a police hate crime investigation can at least be tracked. It's hard to prove a crime was motivated by bias. And the Department of Justice says more than half of hate crimes don't get solved because they don't get reported.
People aren't always comfortable reporting because they don't know what happens to the data. Also, they're not quite sure what can be done afterwards.
Even if police could do more, would a hate crime survivor feel any safer? Some restaurant workers in New Haven, Connecticut struggled with this. Maileen Malakon is a rising junior in college. She works at a Lao and Thai eatery called Pho Khet Khao. Back in April, she finished a morning shift, walked to her car, and noticed something strange.
And I thought it was like crumbs on like the front seat, but it was just like glass.
Someone shattered Malakon's windshield while her car was parked downtown at the restaurant's storefront. She didn't know what to do, so she called her parents.
They initially thought it was a hate crime because they like, they're kind of still paranoid about like the whole COVID situation, but like there was actually like no proof of it being one.
Malakon says there was no slur written near the scene that made her think to report a hate crime, so she reported vandalism. New Haven police told her street camera angles didn't capture her car, so they had no leads.
I understand where the cops are coming from.
Christine Sun is the daughter of the store owner and manages the restaurant books. She says she first assumed Malakon's windshield was random vandalism. Then her mother told her she found a large dent on her car. It looked like it had got hit with a baseball bat.
My first thought was, I think it had to be because they're Asian. Someone was watching. We're the only store on that block that's open right now, and we happen to be an Asian restaurant. They can't classify as a hate crime because they don't have proof, but, you know, it adds up.
So Sun took to the restaurant's Facebook and Instagram to ask for leads.
I went to social media because I was mad. My mom's just trying to make ends meet and pay rent for her restaurant because rent is still due. Utilities are still due. So she's there because she needs to make money to keep her restaurant afloat.
Sun says the restaurant was able to keep a quarter of its revenue by offering takeout and delivery. And then the New Haven Independent reported the vandalism as a possible racist attack. That led to a bump in business and a GoFundMe page that raised more than $1,000 to help with car repairs.
Before the GoFundMe, an actual customer walked in and said, I just read the article, asked to speak to my mom, and handed her $200.
The restaurant is still recovering. Like many Asian businesses, hit hard before the shutdown. Days before the coronavirus was declared a global pandemic, New Yorkers crowded brunch spots in Brooklyn, but many avoided going for dim sum in Chinatown. That same month, unemployment spiked for Asians in New York, at least three times more than any other race. Sun urges everyone of Asian descent to be hyper-aware of their surroundings, especially her mother.
My cousin, who used to manage the restaurant, actually bought her pepper spray for her birthday this past year, so she has that.
Sun says a group of teenagers recently mugged her mother in the parking garage near her restaurant. Whether or not that incident was hate-related, server Maileen Malakon says her coworkers are still scared. They don't like to park on the street, and she keeps checking the restaurant windows. Cassandra Basler, WSHU News.
Cassandra's story is part of the WSHU series Virus of Hate, reporting on anti-Asian racism in the age of COVID-19. This series is supported by the Graustein Memorial Fund.